I'm doing seasonal work out in the Olympic National Park this summer and live in employee housing on the same property as my job. Throughout the summer, I've heard things like a giggle coming from an empty room, a sliding door closing on its own. Now, one night about a month ago, something wild happened. The building I live in is backed up against an impenetrable coastal rainforest, and some friends and I were sitting in one of the apartment units chatting when we all noticed screaming coming from the woods. Initially I thought it was a cougar, but it kept going and was definitely human sounding. Sometimes it sounded more like sobbing, and others it sounds more like frantic yelling. It went on for about 5 intense minutes and then stopped. Now the truly chilling part, about 30 seconds after the yelling stopped, what sounded like a disembodied woman's voice come through a radio station, started muttering right next to where we were sitting. We couldn't make out what she was saying, and it was only a few seconds, but it was all of us in the room who heard it, and we can't see anything. One of my friends opens the door to make sure nobody was outside, and we were completely alone. I should also mention and note that everybody who lives in the building was all in the same room, so all of the other units are empty. Pretty much all of us who live here have puzzled over any logical explanation for what could have happened, yet we don't seem to be able to find one. Now, I've been searching for some semblance or similarity in someone else's encounters for 3 years now, hoping another's experience might align even slightly with my own, just to validate it. Until last night, I found details aligning with my own encounter, but nothing I felt was concrete enough to make my story not sound absolutely crazy. It still does sound insane, I know. I have no way further to explain any of it, so all I have is what I witnessed. I found a post on here from 18 days ago that sounds similar to my own. The key difference being familiarity of the voices mimicked, leading me to wonder if this thing had been watching us for a while. To get both of our voices down, it had to have heard us, at the most recent, probably 10 hours before we had left for work. Alright, let me preface this. I typed up all of this as a DM to send to somebody else, so the syntax is going to be awful. But yeah, let's get to it. So I was living down in West Texas in this national park where the restaurant I was working at the time rested at the top of a 15-minute hike up a mountain trail from the housing they had us in. I closed up the restaurant after everybody left each night, so I was always an hour or two late coming down the hill, more than everyone else. Usually pretty empty and really quiet, uncommon to encounter anybody else at the top. It was only really the mountain in the gift store and some trailheads, but there isn't much reason for anybody to be up there. At this one night, I'm coming down, no moon, so it was pitch black, empty trail, characteristically quiet. Around the last bend to get to my house, and right before I get off the trailhead to take a shortcut through the thick of cactuses and brush, there are maybe 20 to 15 trees, even though it's a desert at the top of the mountain. Now, when I heard my best friend slash roommate call out my name, clear as day, in the other direction, saying my name, and when I turned around, I can't see much. Now, in retrospect, it almost sounded funny. It was close, like 15 yards maybe, but it sounded far off at the time, like if somebody recorded his voice from far away, but played it very nearby. It just sounds off, but not enough to flip a switch immediately, and maybe I'm painting the memory of it differently than it actually sounded. So I'm facing my house, maybe 50 yards away, and the voice comes from directly to my left, on this foothill of the mountain we'd hiked around on sometimes. It has much more tree coverage than the trail that I'm on, and was considerably more than the thickness separating me from the clearing surrounding my house. If you walked 5 foot in the direction of the voice, you'd completely disappear from the view of anyone. Now, hearing my friend's voice calling me, I was like, oh cool, we're night hiking, and I turned to follow it. But right before I take the first couple of steps into the tree line, I hear his actual voice, which is further on the porch saying, "Hey, who you talking to?" which stops me. I turn back to my house, confused as anything, just in time to see this thing burst out of the frickin' thing I was just about to take a shortcut through to begin with before hearing the voice and turning away from the exact spot that I'd walked down every single night, and this thing bolts. It was humanoid technically, but this thing is tall as hell and way too skinny for a human, probably 8 feet tall but too slim, inhumanly slender. He was hunched over and running like he burst off a track mark, you know, but kept the same form the whole time, never got all the way upright. Okay, so as for the colour, that's messed with me. I'm colourblind, and it was like a greenish-yellow thing, and I get greens and yellows mixed up a lot. This hue of green and yellow, at least. And for two, it looked as though it was giving off its own glow, which has always sounded absolutely ridiculous to everybody that I spoke to. Now, if I heard this story, I would honestly think somebody was at the very least a little bit lying. Our back porch light was on though, and the thing lined up with where it would have been shining. So if this thing was translucent, it definitely could have taken off that sheen by reflecting the porch light. The colours kind of line up. I guess if you'd reflected light, it may have looked like this thing's colour, but it certainly wasn't identical. Honestly though, I swear it had its own shine to it, like looking at a glow stick the styan. More than enough to see, but kind of faint regardless. It was a light that definitely wasn't there a second before when I'd got into the shortcut. Now, it would have struck out for at least 50 yards. It should have done. Now, I should mention, had I followed this thing's voice, two things would have happened. One, I would have completely disappeared away from the view of anyone, and two, I would have turned my back on whatever this thing was and entered into the thicket of trees, weeds, and cactuses far too dense for me to turn around and run away or fight back or anything. Now, that trail that I would have led goes directly to the edge of a cliff that drops down a massive break in the mountain. That cleanly drops almost all of 6,000 feet into the wide open desert below. That could be the purpose of that direction. To be honest, if I was going to try and do some crazy stuff, it would be the perfect place for both finding someone and leading them to a spot where nobody can find you. Legit, in the middle of the day, you could probably make someone disappear if you wanted. Anyway, with how this thing was running, it immediately felt like I'd spooked it. You know, like how a deer will basically run off at a noise, but it was different in that it seemed a lot more determined. It seems intelligent, as if they'd been trying to watch you from the bushes or something like that, you know. It was spooked, but kind of sentient, and definitely acting like I just foiled some crazy plan. So naturally, I also bolt. Now exposing my back to this thing, but taking the opposite, slightly longer way back to the porch. Now my buddy, God bless his soul, is still there and he asks again, "Who are you with?" His face is just as confused and he keeps looking past me. And I'm like, "You heard that too?" "Yeah. Why are they?" "What? There was multiple?" Apparently from his perspective, he heard multiple voices alongside the road, all carrying on and joking around, talking back and forth pretty loudly. He said that there was at least three other voices talking to mine, but it sounded almost like a whole bunch of people coming down the trail. He said he could clearly hear us getting closer and closer for the first couple of minutes, and just assumed that I'd run into a hiking group and was talking with them as we headed down. Not the most uncommon thing in the daytime, but pretty uncommon for the hour of night. It took me a minute to show him that I wasn't messing with him and had not just split off from the hikers. I was completely alone and had not vocalized a word until he came to ask, "Who are you with?" It actually took me a second to even express my side of what was going on. I was so out of whack that I couldn't find the words to actually explain this, so kept shouting, "I swear to God, I just heard your voice and this thing, dude, this thing," or something like that. Eventually it registers that there were no other lights on the trail. I wasn't even using a flashlight, So maybe that was actually some moon out, and I had just heard his voice calling me off the trail into the darkness, and we both began trying to figure out what we just witnessed. Okay, this one might get a little crazy, and I'm not implying anything, and I'm just saying that this is what I'd been doing on the walk down before this happened. So obviously walking home solo, I hadn't actually said a word. Whoever he heard was certainly not me, and I certainly hadn't come with a crowd, but I had been praying like crazy on the way down. There had just been this super dark negative energy in the house lately. I was just kind of trying to just surround myself with light and positivity, asking God to give me strength before I went back in, and out of nowhere, midway through the trail, I get this overwhelming feeling of joy, like absolute ecstasy. I was like screaming inside, happy as bones, and just felt like I could take on the world, like no matter what, I could take it. Maybe I'm implying something, because call me crazy, but I've always felt like that had something to do with how the night turned out. I know that part doesn't really sound insane, but so does the rest of it, so whatever. I certainly don't think it was a coincidence. I'm just not sure what to make of any of it. Every detail means every detail. That's just what's going on. But yeah, anyway, that's pretty much it. The only other thing that made it memorable is out of nowhere, I just kind of stopped thinking of it. Not like forgot, but like it was hidden behind some thick fog in my head. The next morning, I told the story to my friend and she uncharacteristically shut me down and said, "You all are just crazy, getting scared out in the mountains," and walked away. It was really not like her to dismiss someone, especially a friend, without hearing them out. She's a really empathetic person. It was legit like she'd heard something that triggered a memory, and she refused to touch upon it or get close with it. I could be reading into it, but that's happened a couple of times with this story. Anyway, we'd been living on that mountain on and off for a few years at that point, and never seen or heard anything remotely similar until that night that we'd never forget about. Now, it just wasn't like we'd get spooked either being on our own house or on the trail, because we took it twice a day, every day. And it wasn't like we were seeing things or making things up, because we both seemed to hear the same thing pretty much. Now, my father and I are both outdoorsy individuals, and we love the forests of Oregon. And he very much talked to me about all the various must-see places in Oregon, whether they're pretty well known or very hidden. One of these places he took me to, I'll never forget, is called the Miller Lake, and it's kind of southeast of the Oregon Caves National Monument. This place, now that I recall, wasn't terribly large, but my memory could be mistaken, for the hike around the lake itself was quite long. However, we didn't make it that far into the hike. It was a warm morning, mostly like they are in Oregon here, and we had just packed up to head on a trip to wherever my dad felt like taking us today. It was just me, my stepmom, my father, and my little brother, who wasn't much younger than I was. We had thrown everything into the Jeep and prepared to head off. Now, the drive we took to get over there was quite long and boring, as most were, and I remembered seeing many locations pass by on the way there, locations we had visited countless times. As the roads got more and more narrow and the houses became less common on both sides of the road, I saw less and less familiar areas up until I was in a completely unrecognized area. I know that most roads around here are just cruddy back streets ending up in sketchy gravel roads up the mountains, but you really grow to recognize some places once you've been down them, or to the Rogue River a few times. This road was no exception. It got more narrow and more narrow, going from a frequented highway to two-lane street, all the way to an old single-lane road. Eventually, it ended off on a gravel path just large enough for vehicles to traverse. The plant life around here gets more and more dense, and all of a sudden, the gravel turned to rocks and potholes, and we're now officially in the middle of nowhere. The path was not too bad, and the vehicles we're in could handle it well. It was raised and had massive tires, which I mention because this will have significance later in the story. We drove further on until we came to a rocky turnaround at the base of a rundown trail marker. The path that we could see wound up a mountain face in a section that was less steep, but space between the mountains neighbouring it. The towering trees on all sides of us cast a shadow, offering temporary protection from the brutal summer heat that was to come. So we get out, grabbed our heavy load, and trekked up the pathway. It was a sign-winding path, which is made of loose rocks and dust, and it got rather hellish at certain points. It took us quite a while to get up, and I'd say the hike was about half a mile. When we got to the top, we're greeted with a sorry excuse for a lake in the place of an incredible swimming hole that it was supposed to be. Now, the edges are actually far too steep to actually play in, and the majority of the banks was blocked by old dirt logs. A bit of a disappointment, but still no day ruiner. For me and my dad, we had planned to fish the waters, so we set up in the blazing sun that was now upon us. There was no area with shade. It seemed like the entire habited side of the lake shore was made up of gravel, and it felt like such a thin surface area to border the lake. Once we were set up, I grabbed my rod, connected the ends, and cast into the lake. Now, I do think I could have opted into a better bait, because what I had equipped was actually more for flowing waters of river, but nonetheless, it was still doable. I kept casting to no prevail. Before getting rather worn out from the heat, I set my rod down and took more notice to the area around me. We were at the end of the lake that was open and led to the trail back to the parking area, and on the opposite side all we could see was trees and a steep hill going up. The lake was almost embedded into the mountains, with the other end being a sheer cliff with no shore. There was a trail going around the perimeter of the lake, and I assumed it would lead to an area where we could overlook it from the top of the cliff. There, however, was a sense of unease, looking into the dense tree line in the opposite direction and remembering how we really weren't close to civilization. I shook this feeling off as a sense of arrogance, or maybe just being annoyed by all the bugs around me. Dad pulled out bug spray and covered us in what attempted to be a ward off to the flying friends. Once it settled onto us, my brother and I decided that we'd hop into the lake. We hesitantly climbed down into the eerie waters below, realizing that the lake itself was unusually cold. I quickly crawled out of the unpleasant waters, for there was also a sense of angst from the steep decline in the shores. We both dry off. Our stepmother proposed that we should try hiking around the trail in the hopes to see more and potentially lose the increasing crowd of insects. We all agreed to this and began to set off on the foot up the steep hill overlooking the side of the lake. The open, scorching area quickly turned into a dense brush as we returned to the woods, and we all soon began to grow quite unhappy. The bugs are only getting worse to a point really unpleasant and really unusual for somewhere like this. We also start getting this weird feeling of being watched, and I kept frantically darting my eyes around the sides of the trail, and that's when it struck me. The entire time that we're here is dead silent, not a single sound around except for the occasional flying bug you hear in your ear. There was no wind shaking through the canopy, and not a single bird chirping. The usual sounds of the Oregon forest were replaced by a grim silence that shook me to the core. As all these dreadful feelings increased, I also began to really notice how inexplicably uneasy I felt. It was not just your typical annoyance from things around you, it was a combination of mixed negative emotions that were, even on their own, not something you'd want to be having while out in the middle of nowhere. We quickly began to feel overwhelmed, and we hesitantly turned around. Now, the feeling of being watched actually got worse, and our happy facial expressions and feelings are completely gone now. I could sense dread on everybody's faces. I was, for certain, being watched. We got back down to our area and quickly packed our coolers, chairs and fishing rods. My dad even told me to throw our trash bag in the cooler. Now, even when there was food still in there, I happily complied, and we set off down the trail. The feelings we had were awful at breaking point, honestly, as we began to take notice to the haunting energy that each of us are feeling. That's when it happened. There was a slight dirt wall on the side of the path where the trail was carved out, and it was made up of loose rocks and dry dirt. A few pebbles actually rolled down from there like something disturbed them. Not everybody notices this, but however, those of us who did ushered the others to be quicker. The pebbles were always falling and in small amounts. Now they pick up until a bunch of pebbles and a stone actually roll down right next to us. My dad drops everything he had in his hands, and he had his handgun out in a second. He aimed it around in a way that I've never seen before, and I could tell he was freaked out, no, terrified, and we all are too. He left the thing he was holding on the trail, not bothering to pick it up again, and kept the bag of valuables on his shoulder. He told us all to get in front of the trail, and he basically had our backs, so nobody straggled behind. Those next few seconds feel like a blur. We got down to the Jeep in a time quicker than the ascent and threw everything into the trunk without making sure that it was in snugly. My dad hopped into the driver's seat and locked the doors and turned us around to drive out of there. We are all on the brink of pure panic, still contemplating about what was going on. And we stay completely silent. We pulled out of the turnaround and then we felt it. The Jeep shook and dipped like it had a blowout, and instantly our dad stepped on the brakes and hopped out to make sure it wasn't a tire that had gone out. After hearing that we might have gotten a flat, my brother and I start getting worried, and rightfully so. My dad stepped out to check the tire. If it was a flat, we'd be screwed. The Jeep had a jack and a spare, but there was no way in the world that we'd be able to change it. The jack was too short for the Jeep, because it was a stock jack, and the Jeep had been raised by the previous owners, and the tires are massive, so that's not going to help at all. And all of a sudden, I heard him explain that it wasn't a flat, and he hopped back in. He continued down the road and made it safely home, not stopping for anything the whole way back. Aftermath. Now this story gives me anxiety thinking about it, because I have no explanation as to what happened. We were the only people out there, and that's because that the gravel road that we parked on was the only way there. No other vehicles were spotted the entire time. The lack of sound was really freaky looking back at it, because in nature, a lack of sound usually indicates that there's a predator there, or so I'm told. I don't know if I put enough emphasis on this, but the place was dead quiet, not a sound to be heard, and the feeling of being watched, which was really scary, didn't seem to go away. And finally the bugs, yes the bugs, but they're normally not that many, so I don't know why there were so many in such an abundance in the same area. It's honestly insane how many there were. I've really never been through something that bad before, ever. And it only got worse as we progressed down the trail. Maybe them warding us off for the best. Maybe if we went further, we would have found something that wasn't meant for our eyes. Now the gravel falling, that could have been an animal, but how come we hadn't seen anything up until that moment? And also with the Jeep stopping and having that problem. Yeah, it's pretty weird. The rocking was really intense, nothing like a bump in the road, and it definitely wasn't something you could ignore. I honestly don't understand why this one particular place was so creepy, or what could have possibly caused what had happened to us that day. I do know for certain though, I do not want to go back to Miller Lake again, at least not alone. Now, I was on a back road where my family still has a piece of ranch property that was passed down from my great-great-grandparents. There's an old farmhouse that nobody lives in full-time now, but various members of the family still go up there and use it time to time. You have to drive through the woods to get there, about 15 minutes from the highway, and then beyond there a few more scattered ranches along the road that winds for about 30 minutes before connecting back to the highway again, so it's fairly remote. Someone walking that road would be there for hours. Anyway, it's a beautiful spot to stargaze. No other lights around at all, except for the very rare car that would drive along this road. So one night, my friend and I decide to drive up the ranch to hang out and try and capture a time lapse of stars. When we get to the driveway, we got out to look for the gate, and we realize there's a key which is hidden. Alright then. Now, this guy just appears walking down the road, and right then, he suddenly comes up to us. He's not carrying a bag or backpack or anything, he's dressed in all white, just walking down the road, miles from anything but us and the cows. We make eye contact and say hello, but nothing else, and he keeps on going. Now, I kind of got flustered with finding the key. Anyway, suitably spooked by the guy, we decide to abandon the stargazing plan and go back down to town, which is rural enough that you can still see stars, but there was something about seeing that guy with no gear or anything that's really weird, and this is also close to the US-Canada border, so yeah, who knows what his intentions were. Now, this happened around June or July 2007, I believe. I was around 17 years old and more cocky then, but still somewhat knowledgeable of the outdoors. My family used to own a cabin in NW, Wisconsin. I basically grew up in there in the summer. I knew the woods well, but at night, it was wise to stay in the cabin, or at least by the bonfire, by the bench. Because of the bears, wolves, and cougars, one of the creepiest things was if you were having a bonfire, the tree line was visible from the fire pit and beach, and at night, you'd always feel like you were being watched from the tree line. But during the day, the woods always seemed normal, not so creepy. That was until this incident. So this happened somewhere between 1200 and 1400. Me and my cousins were having an airsoft battle. I was in full woodland camo, he was not. I retreated onto the ATV trail into the woods for a tactical advantage, and the battle took us about 200 meters into about a third of the way up the trail. We had enough at this point and were standing at the edge of a clearing on the trail that was maybe 10 feet from me when I decided to mess with him. I shushed him and said, "We're being watched." He froze, then I realized that the woods are dead quiet and I got spooked and started scanning the tree line and the other edge of the clearing from the left to right, and that's when I saw it. Its teeth gave it away. It was panting and staring at my cousin. I don't expect you to believe me, but what I saw was a wolf almost as big as a black bear, probably 300 pounds, but it wasn't normal. The wolf is on the tree line and it's gripping one, grasping with a clawed hand. It had a reddish brown fur. I told my cousin that we have to go, and the next thing I know, he is sprinting and I look back at the wolfie, who had locked on and sprinted for a few steps on 2 feet. Then I turned and ran away, when it looked as though the wolfie was dropping on all fours and charging at us, and really sounded right onto us, barreling through the brush, but for whatever reason let us go when we broke out the tree line and headed for the cabin. What struck with me the most is the sheer size of the thing that appeared to be nearly 7 feet tall upright, and that it shouldn't have been able to go on its front paws the way it did, or grip the tree how it did. Now, I'm not sure how exactly to explain it rationally. I have heard wolves apparently do weird things and go upright occasionally, but not sprinting like that, and I don't know how it could have been so big. The closest description is Silly, which is a werewolf or dogman. Now, I grew up in a very rural town in East Texas along the Saber River, which is just a stone's throw away from Louisiana. My house is at the end of a farm market road which ended with my house and a few others. Behind my home is a huge field that stretches all the way back to the woods that ran to the Sabine, where paved roads end, and there was a metal gate with a cattle guard which blocks a dirt road. It's very rural. If you're looking straight at my house from the dirt road, it would be to your right. Now we would walk down to that fence and hop it every once in a while. No big deal. Now, my dad or my friends would walk down the dirt road and just look around, you know, just to see what's there. To the left of the house was a field and an old barn. On the paved road that led to our house was a few houses that set off the road. The paved road ended where you reached our house and turns to gravel. At this point, there was the field starting. It was small and led to a tree line right by our property. If you walked the tree line parallel to our home, it would take you to an old creek that led to the Sabine. The creek bed had a thick canopy of trees, not much light in many years, and went on for about a mile or more, and went right to the water's edge. This is our play area. This is our forest and adventure land, and we make use of everything around there. One day, my friends are over, and we're around 10 years old at the time, so we decide to go exploring and walk up and down the tree-lined creek, go walk in the field next to my home, and look in the old barn in the field. We're out in the barn and noticed a few weird things. There were the typical old barn features, hay, dirt, old weathered wood, but hanging from the roof was bones tied to the end of a rope. Kind of weird. We made up stories about how it was voodoo or something like that, but didn't really care much. After exploring the barn, we decided to walk down the creek bed and go to the river. I had my BB gun, so we're shooting at the trees. You know, basically being 10-year-olds. We walk down the river and throw rocks in the water, play with the dead gears washed up on the shore, and decide there's nothing there, so we walk back. As we get back to the field next to the barn, we both have this weird feeling like we're being watched. That's when we saw it. I don't know what it was. I know we both saw it, and this thing was just staring at us, and we both laughed at each other. Do you see that? And we both did. This thing was tall, impossibly dark, and almost black, standing on the edge of the tree line, pretty much staring at us. We couldn't make out much more detail other than its height, which is around 7 feet. Dark, almost black and shaggy. It had its arms holding something, but we can't make out much else. We just know it was massive. We ask each other if we saw it. Then we turned around and ran back to the house as fast as we can, scared to death. It makes my skin crawl just thinking about it. I have no idea what it was, and neither does he. We talk about it last time I saw him, and he pretty much confirms what I remember. I'm scared as heck whenever I have to walk through the woods on my own now. I work as a park ranger, and I remembered we got a call out to investigate some weird activity near a campfire. Now, somebody wasn't supposed to have a campfire out here, and that definitely meant they were up to something. It could have easily just been kids or whatever, but apparently there'd been strange noises heard too. I go over to investigate with one of my colleagues, and we find the burning embers of where this fire would have been. We look around for a couple of minutes, then we find some things that are odd. There seems to be a circle around us in the dirt. We both take a step back and realize that something's off here. There seems to be blood markings all around us, and something smells bad. We then look at a tree, and we both stare at each other as we realize an animal carcass is hanging from it. Don't ask me how it got so high up the tree, I couldn't tell you that, but that's when we realize the next strange thing. Pinned to the tree is a piece of paper with strange writing that was clearly in animal blood, with all different weird symbols and markings. Yeah, it didn't take us long to go back to the station and call the cops. The cops think it was probably some kind of satanic thing, but they can't be certain. We did a big search of the area and didn't find anything. What really baffles us is how the animal got so high in the tree, because you couldn't have thrown it that high and you couldn't have climbed, so yeah, the whole thing was just really weird. In the summer of 2016, during a summer camp, we went to Henry Cow Park in California to camp out. The day itself was normal, having fun throughout many activities. In my tent, I was with three friends, who I'll be calling Sam, Mark, and Dave. We set up our tent in a small opening within a grove of trees. We were on the right side, while the girls were up on the left side. We made s'mores and just hung out and went to sleep. During the middle of the night at about 12-ish, I heard something going through our bags, which were on the table adjacent from our tent. Since it was late, I assumed it's just an animal like a raccoon. I then fell asleep. About 15 minutes later, Dave woke me up whispering, "There's something up against the tent." I lightly pressed my hand up against the side of the tent and something pressed back. I was frightened for a few seconds but chalk it up to an animal once again. Since we were obviously in the wilderness, we shook it off and fell asleep again. I then woke up at 6-ish and had to use the restroom. I opened the tent flap, which then immediately greets me with the sight of some of our bags open laying on the floor. I exit the tent to investigate. I then thought about telling my bunkmates and turned my head. The tent had flipped over on its right side. This is strange because we had securely planted stakes into the rings to hold the tent down. I then noticed that the stakes seemed to be taken out, which is really strange. Now, it shouldn't have happened like that, and confused and worried, I woke up everybody else to ensure that they're aware of what happened, asking, "Do they know what's happened here?" We set up the tent once again and went through our bags. Nothing from our bags were taken. Then, we went on about with our day and had breakfast. Now, after having our breakfast and going back to the campsite, we sat down at the benches and tried to think of what could have made the tents flip over. I then explained that I heard and felt weird the previous night, and explained what happened. That's when the girls approached our table and asked us, "Sam, why were you snooping around our tent last night, and why were you staring at us?" We are all confused and say that none of us actually went out of the tent, and the girls are starting to freak out. After a while of us trying to find a logical explanation for these, we eventually come to an agreement to try and forget this ever happened. My friends and I explained our experience to the counselors, who did not come up with any explanations. I have explained this story to many friends and we've not been able to come to a definitive answer as to what specifically happened that day. Now, a couple of summers ago, before I went for a camping trip with some friends just outside of Boone, NC, the campsite was privately owned and all around an awesome place. It's called Blue Bear, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone who wants to go for a fun camping trip with no state officials to annoy you and your boozing. Now, I think it was the second night that we're there. We had acquired a half gallon of some evil looking rum. Me and two fellas I was camping with had opted for one of the more out of the way primitive sites, about a mile hike down the ridge from the main campsites where everybody seemed to be staying. We knew nobody was close enough to complain about us, and we had killed the entire half gallon in no more than 20 to 30 minutes. After that, the night only lasted about 2 hours. We ran around the woods and just messed around until we passed out. If it sounds stupid, it's because it was, but we had lots of fun though. Next thing I knew, I'm awake, like wide awake, and I can hear something moving around probably about 20 yards outside of the tent. I felt completely sober and very uneasy. I can feel and hear this thing's presence as it slowly moves around and breaks twigs and stuff and leaves. I'm thinking to myself that this is probably just a deer, and maybe at worst a black bear. Neither would be much of a problem as we don't have any food lying around, and other than that, we've just got a tent there. Then this thing let out a call unlike anything I've ever heard before. It's almost impossible to describe what it sounded like, but almost bird-like, but somewhere in between a turkey or an owl. It was loud, like really loud, but what scared me is the complexity. It sounded like this thing was speaking a full-fledged language. It called out a few more times, and each time the call just became more and more complex, yet completely different. It was extremely alarming and put me into a full flight or fight mode. I set up and began to build the courage to go outside and face this creature. Then, just like that, it's morning and I'm laying on my back waking up. Both buddies are already up and outside of the tent with a fire going. I instantly start worrying and ask if they heard insane stuff just hours before. Neither of them had, and because I was unable to reproduce the sound at all, I can't really give an idea of what it's like. Fast forward to spring break of the next year, and I'm going camping again, this time deep in a national forest, which is in the easternmost part of the state and is more remote than our previous camp. We set up our camp about 8 to 10 miles from the entrance of the park. There were no roads in our area, and the closest civilization's about 30 miles away. This time I'm with three guys other than myself. There is no drinking involved, and we're all sober. It's the third night of the trip and cold. Our spring break took place in early March, and night temperatures are more than a few degrees below freezing. Once again, though, I wake up in the middle of the night. I want to say it is around 2:30 or so in the morning. Well, damn, if I don't hear the exact same freaking sound coming from just outside of the tent, I'm instantly terrified, as this time I now suspect that some truly strange things are going on, because I know that this is the exact same creature. This time, I'm determined to capture a glimpse of it, or something, because I might never get another chance, and this will haunt me. In my tent with my good friend and his brother, I go to wake up my friend, and once again, it's like I passed out or something, and I wake up in the morning. Obviously, I burst out of the tent and start running around trying to look for this bird creature that I've now had two encounters with, and nobody knows what I'm talking about, and my friend doesn't even recall me trying to wake him up at all. I guess I probably could have made this a little shorter, but I was basically hearing a weird noise. But let me tell you, this noise was really triggering fight or flight instincts on both occasions, and I spent hours trying to find anything similar from the Appalachia area, but I can't find anything, and I still can't figure out what it is to this day. Being a park ranger was and still is my favorite ever job. However, I did have one experience that kind of stuck with me and shook me to the core a bit. It didn't happen recently, but very early in my career. Now, this only ever happened on one occasion, and I'd like to know what you guys think. So, the day was pretty much normal to begin with. I'd gone through my normal routine and tasks for the day, and I was just generally enjoying myself. Now, as I'm going about my day, looking forward to going home, I get a call out that apparently somebody's on one of the streams and shouldn't be there. Now, I thought this was pretty weird because we do have some pretty fast running water where I was stationed at the time, and I knew if anybody was out there, they're probably in big trouble. So I head off. Now, I get to the exact location and I start panicking. I'm probably gonna have to call in a missing person, or I think I'm about to find a body, which is pretty concerning. I feel my hands getting a bit more sweaty and my lips going dry, which is something I haven't experienced for a long time. Nervously, I proceed to check out the area, but I don't find anything at all initially. Frustrated and worried that somebody's out there, I go further and further following the water downstream until eventually I see it. Now, at first, it looks like a body that's washed up on the rocks, but I'm not so sure. It looks pretty big, and it almost didn't look like a person. It was just too long and kind of stick-shaped. I call out, "Hey," then call out, "Hey," again and say that I'm a ranger coming to help. That's when I hear a really bizarre sound. It almost sounded like a foreign language, but changing pitches and tones, and I feel a reverberation around me. I soon realized that this thing is making sounds and it stands up. Now, I can't believe my eyes because this person must be about 6.5 feet tall, which is massive. Maybe 7 feet, I don't know, but just far too big to be a normal person. It then turns around and stands in the dead center of the stream, not moving. Now, I should mention too that the waters are very cold at this point, and it really wouldn't be a good idea to stand there, let alone in the summer. And how could somebody be standing there? They wouldn't be strong enough. I then hear that screamy sound one more time, and it just walks upstream, literally upstream at pace, until eventually disappearing out of sight. I radio in that I've seen somebody run, and they might be injured or delirious, and we send out a search team. Conclusion of our search? Nothing. We still don't find who did this, and even to this day it still haunts me. I'm pretty convinced it wasn't a person, so that leads me to my next question. What on earth did I see that day? Now, I go to a university in Asheville, NC, and in my freshman year, I went hiking a couple of times with some close friends. We always went to the same campsite by the French Broad River. Pretty cheap and tucked away in the trees. Now, this particular mid-November camping trip was like the first couple. We loaded up on supplies and piled into my friend's Jacob truck to go to the campsite. We had set up our tent sometime around dusk, ate food, and messed around for a while, and finally go to bed after midnight. I woken up sometime before dawn because I had to pee. I bundled up for a second in another sweater and went outside to do my business. When I say that our campsite was next to the river, I mean right next to the river, like less than 20 feet from the edge of the water. So I decided to pop a squat behind a tree on the riverbank and look at the water. Now, I was still pretty drowsy at this point, and the water wasn't doing too much to wake me up. As I was gazing over at the river, eyes almost glazed over, I spot something. There was a figure standing in the middle of the freezing cold French Broad River at 3 in the morning. I'm pretty sure my pee stream retracted back into me. The moonlight was fairly bright, but I knew that sleepy eyes can play tricks on you. I squinted my eyes, widening them as far as they can go, shielding them and everything. It was definitely a person, though, halfway across the river, standing waist deep in running water. I couldn't tell in the dark, but I'm pretty sure was facing our camp. I don't know what the gender was, but the moonlight was reflecting, pale enough to make me think that they aren't wearing clothes. My brain was fully awake and processing the person staring at me from the river, and I hike my pants up and proceed to wake up my friends and tell them what I've just seen. We all look out of the tent, and sure enough, the river person's still standing there, completely still. We huddle back into the tent and try and figure out what's happened. We check again before sunrise, but the river person's completely gone. I worked as a fire ranger for a couple of years, and it was one of my favorite jobs that I've ever had. It's something that I'm almost envious I couldn't do for longer. I did enjoy being outside, but to be honest, I'd kind of struggle with the loneliness, really. Every so often, you'd have somebody pop up, or you might change over shift and have a brief interaction, but there wasn't really much time that you could spend with people, and that's something I didn't enjoy about the job. And I don't know. I just don't think it's good for you in the long run. I've recently changed jobs and I'm around people a lot more, and sometimes I do reminisce and think back, and I kind of trick myself into thinking it would be the right path for me now. But realistically, I know it wasn't, and I did have a story that happened to me that I'd like to share where I think this would be a good place for it. Now, where I was stationed was absolutely beautiful. We had these huge trees everywhere, which I absolutely loved, and you could do these beautiful nature walks through it, and that's something that I did quite frequently. I actually opted to walk for about an extra 2 miles just so I could go through more of it when I'd arrive for work. It was really gorgeous, honestly. And yeah, sometimes when I parked my car, it was easy for me to get lost and forget what I was truly there for. I kind of understand how places like this could inspire different stories, you know, like you get the Lord of the Rings and things like that. Well, I just kind of get it. And if you're someone that lives in a city, then I'd strongly recommend that you spend some time out in the forest. And I mean real forests, not just the parks. Like the national parks, you know, the big ones. Yeah, sorry if I'm going off topic at all now. So, I'd like to share what happened on a specific night while I was on my duty. Now, before I get to that, I'll have to explain some of my day. Now, my day was pretty good. I spent most of my time just doing my watch and just listening to songs on the radio. I had a really strong radio up there and it really got good signal. I mean, how could it not being that high up? I tried my best not to go down too often, but I'd have to do it for the toilet every so often. I think from coming up the kind of spirally stairs, I ended up twisting my knee awkwardly and it was kind of playing me up. It was something I could hope I could just sleep off, but I wasn't too sure as I had a few other injuries on the same side of my body. For some reason, all of them happened to be in roughly the same place, but my other side was completely fine. Now, I did have to make this trip down a few times, and while doing so, something felt different. It was almost like the atmosphere was different when I got further down. Not in the sense of atmospheric, but I don't know, I just kind of felt tense and uneasy. Almost like something terrible had happened, but I didn't know what. I don't know if you've ever got bad news, but one that makes you panic. It was kind of similar to that, so for me, this was a really bizarre thing. I did wander around a few times and try and take my mind off things, and that's when something else weird happened. While walking, my vision suddenly goes very blurry, and it's almost like I'm seeing double. Now, during this time, for just a second, I can see some kind of figure further up. It almost looks like somebody dressed in medieval type robes, but the religious people. Now, I only see it for a second, so I don't know whether this was in my head or not, but they suddenly just go with a big flash, and things are immediately back to normal. I think this is odd and think that I've gotten too hot, so I actually go back to the station. There's a thermometer there, and I quickly give myself a check over, but everything's normal. I decide I need to chug some more water. In places like this, it's pretty easy to not stay on top of how much you're eating or drinking. Also, some people in my family are diabetic, which is definitely not me because of the way I eat, but I don't know. You can never be too careful, I guess. So, I decide that I should eat some food too. Now, once again, after eating, I get the weird feeling and the sense of dread comes over me that something's just off. I then realize that I can see the same figure again that I saw before, though only this time I can see them much clearer than before, and I'm convinced it's actually a person. I then go to speak to them and say, Hey, how are you doing? And they seemingly just ignore me and walk off. Another weird thing I notice is that they don't have any hair whatsoever. Almost like them Tibet monks, but different. But what on earth would one be doing here? And they aren't really dressed appropriately. I don't know, their clothes just look too dated, and almost even if you're a religious person out here, it seems like you would actually dress more appropriately. You can get foot injuries really easily here, and yes, I was suffering from one of those too, and it was on the same side. I don't know whether it's plant fasciitis, but the bottom of my foot was killing. I mean, that mixed with my knee being bad was really a big problem for me. But anyway, I tried to put that aside, and I just think it's a normal hiker. I get back up to the top of my station, and night's starting to fall. Now, that's good for a couple of reasons, but one is it actually makes my job a lot easier. Because obviously, you can spot fires quite easily in the darkness, but that's not always the only thing that you see. I had a report off one of my other friends who worked here saying that he was staring up at the stars. He saw one move, then another, and assumed that it was a satellite, until suddenly they shoot off in different directions. I kind of joked about it and said, oh, it's just the old man going off on one again, but I don't know, really. Especially when you're out here on your own, it's almost like if there are visitors come in, then they're gonna choose this time to come and pounce on you. But hey, that was just my wider thinking. Me, I did like to stargaze every so often, and obviously, being far away from light pollution, you could see the stars really well, and it's something that I really enjoyed doing. Now, as I'm stargazing, I'm pretty certain I can see something off. It looks like a star, then another one moving parallel to each other, and I say, God, I'm pretty sure I'm seeing what my friend saw to myself. I won't say his name here, but I say, ha, he wasn't crazy after all, and kind of laugh. These stars didn't shoot off, but there was definitely something weird about them. I actually worry that maybe the tower was starting to crumble or lean and that this is about to be it, but I stay still for a second and realize it isn't. This is actually one of my biggest fears that I have, the station going down with me on it and me just holding on to the sides trying to make it. I've had nightmares about this and generally wake up really scared inside the station, and when I've done that, I've actually been really fearful that it's happening because obviously I'm up there. And your body doesn't always get used to it, especially not for short spells. But this isn't the case. The stars are just weird. I tell myself that I'm just imagining things and I go to sit down. Now, this is the first really strange thing that happened. I go to write in my diary that not much is happening today, and I wake up again. Now, I went into a very deep sleep and I must have dreamt for probably 12 hours. I had a very long dream that I was actually transported to medieval times, which is really bizarre. But this wasn't the case. Of course it wasn't. I looked at the alarm clock. It's only been 10 minutes. How could it have only been 10 minutes if I'd been dreaming for 12 hours? This is really bizarre. I then quickly scan around and grab my binoculars, worried that I've eclipsed time that is potentially dangerous, and this is one of our biggest issues on our job. If you fall asleep, you're not only putting your own life at risk, but also others who you're there to protect, and that's something that I don't want to jeopardize. So, I quickly slam a coffee and try and normalize myself a bit. As I'm slowly waking up, I grab the binoculars and peer around, and that's when I see it. It almost looks like a glowing ember of a fire, and with some excitement, I quickly focus in the lenses. That's when I see another one. And another one. I then put the binoculars down trying to see it, but they're just too far away for me. Thinking that maybe this is some kind of encounter with the third kind, I start to panic a bit now. I then pan around the binoculars, and it seems like it's a big row that continues and continues. I can't believe what I'm seeing. All of the lights form a big circle around my tower, and they're getting closer and closer. They're all kind of like a red-yellow glow, but it's really weird. I look up quickly, expecting there to be a big mothership about to take me away, but strangely, I don't see anything. I look down and around, and that's my best explanation. I then quickly go over to the radio and radio in that something's definitely off and there might be fire very close to me. They say that they're going to send a team out to investigate, and to make sure that I stay in radio contact and obviously evacuate if necessary. I say no worries and I quickly jump down to look outside again. While looking around with my binoculars, I can suddenly see that they're very close and almost at the base of my tower, which is impossibly quick. Now, after letting my eyes adjust for a few seconds, I suddenly realize that these are people holding these torches. They seem to be people, but very small, all wearing the same kind of dark robes that I've seen earlier. I now scream and run back into the tower and report that there's no fire, there's people coming to burn this thing down. They then say not to worry and that they're sending some other people there, and they ask me to see what else is happening. I'm almost froze to the spot, but I force myself to go and look outside, and when I do, there's nothing. Literally, nobody there below the tower, nobody around at all, for miles. I search desperately, I frantically try and explain what's happening, and I ask them desperately to send some people out, and they say not to worry, there are. They then start questioning, am I fully awake yet? And am I sure it's not just my eyes playing tricks on me? But I'm absolutely certain at what I've seen. I ended up staying up there and refusing to come down until another 20 minutes until some other workers arrived. They question me, and they say they can't see evidence of anyone. Now, this is where it gets a bit crazy for me. One of them does find something odd. They can see some strange markings on the ground. It's almost like hieroglyphs, but not quite. It's like strange symbols that have been burned into the ground, obviously, with something, but there's no people whatsoever. We do quite a big look around and we literally can't find anything to explain what this is. I'm completely freaked out now, and luckily one of the other workers takes over from me. A few days go by and nothing else really happens, and eventually I return to another station and the rest of my job goes completely normal for those couple of years. Now, none of the other workers experienced anything even remotely similar to what I did that day, and that kind of messes with me in more ways than one. I know for a fact that I wasn't seeing things, but I still don't know what I saw that day. This experience put me off being a fire ranger, and I'm kind of glad that I did because I'd hate to be out there alone and have something similar happen again. Since this, I've also never been able to camp alone.